With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hey gang, Luke forgot to bring his flute, but we're going to make sweet, sweet music on the subject of the Champions League last 16. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's Thursday the 18th of March. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Vidushin Hantaraja.
You promised, Luke, you promised we were going to make our own special jingle all together.
That's not true. But did you know about me and the flute? Because did you just make that up? Because I did actually have like flute lessons as a kid at junior school.
Uh-huh.
Were they forced upon you, or did you want to play the flute?
No, for some reason I think I chose it.
Right, okay.
And I think I remember my mum being pissed off because she knew I'd never stick with it, which I didn't, and my dad being pissed off because I think a flute is really expensive.
What it is I looked at you and I thought flautist.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I think people have looked at me and thought worse, so I'll take that.
I was forced to play the violin when I was younger, and I played it for 4 years, and I was still on grade one. And I used to like not take it home to practice, so I used to leave it in my locker at school. Yeah. And one day I came back to it, and it was smashed in half.
Wow.
And so on the next assembly, the head teacher...
Stradivarius? Was it?
I can't even remember.
No, it wouldn't have been. It's like a 17th century... Like, right, take Kate knows.
Oh, there she is.
Luke knows it. Carry on with your sad story.
Should we play a bit of a violin?
So I stood up an assembly with the headmaster. The headmaster was like, Vatutian's violin has been broken in half. A serious act of vandalism, and I will not stand for it. And as he said that, I remember that I dropped it down a flight of stairs the day before.
Couldn't bring
myself to open it up and look at it.
Oh my goodness. So,
and then that was the last time I played the violin.
How was your street cred after that? That must have been an absolute nightmare for the young. It wasn't great
while I played the violin, but then when I started telling people I smashed the violin, it went through the roof.
Like a Pete Townsend of the violin.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Not a practice we endorse on the Football Ramble, though, obviously.
No, smash violins.
And don't endorse half the things Pete Townsend does either. But specifically about the stringed instrument.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, Vishkish.
Yeah.
Glad to hear that you went down that path.
The whiskey thief of Hungary, Vishkish.
What else will he do? Smash up classical music instruments. What was it? Rob, get drunk and then rob places?
That's a better nickname than one of my old editors used to call me Vichy France.
Oh, okay. That's actually a little bit more.
Then he would refer to me as the Frenchman. He still does, actually, yeah.
Yeah, disappointing.
I think I like that, or is there something wrong with it?
No, I like that as well. It's like someone at my cricket club kept calling me the Vichyman, and I couldn't stand that. But then they met my partner and they called her Vichyman's friend, and I like that.
And you got a filet of Vish.
Yeah, there's
and,
there's
the jelly
well.
Vish.
Was that just a long-term setup then, the Vishyman's friend thing?
I think so.
Like all the best material.
Yeah, I mean, it took him, I think it was about a year until he met my partner.
Right, okay.
That's a commitment to the art.
It's a big build-up.
I really like that a lot. Also committed to the art of discussing the Champions League. It's us. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Did you think it was a pure display of beauty? Chelsea beating Atletico Madrid 3-0 on aggregate, 2-0 on the night. Brilliant counter-attack for the first goal, finished by Hakim Ziyech. Lovely pass from Timo Werner, and also Emerson Palmieri scored two. What is odd about this one, I feel like, is that Chelsea were vastly better, correct?
Yeah,
I think so, yeah.
But now we're going to talk about incidents, and you're going to feel like maybe Atletico should/could have got something out of this.
Maybe. I think that the big talking point was, of course, the penalty decision, which was inexplicably not checked by VAR. And I got to the point now where I just feel sorry for Peter Walton. He just wrapped his hand in now. Like he used to do a pretty good job of trying to defend the officiating. And last night he was like, look, I think that's a penalty. I would have given that as a penalty. I don't know what he's done there. It's a mistake.
And I feel really.
He's going to do that for the rest of the season.
I mean, I feel really bad for him because he's clearly at the end of his tether. They never let him in.
I don't feel bad for him, isn't
it? They never let him in the studio.
They never let him in the studio. He's always on his own.
Box.
There are four of them in there. Jules is bigging it up with seven or eight.
Going at him.
I like the idea that Rio's going, I ain't sitting next to fucking no ref.
I reckon it's for the best, though, because I reckon they'd wedge the shit out of him, wouldn't they?
Yeah, they would.
Steal his lunch money, pop him down a toilet and flush his head.
Yeah.
Smash his violin.
Were you ever aware of the school ground, the playground kind of antic of the postie, where you'd postie someone on a lamppost?
As in put them on. I thought you meant put them in the letterbox.
No.
What's that?
It's like basically you smash their nuts on a lamppost.
Oh my god!
Yeah, it's bad. I literally just thought of it there. That was like one up from the wedgie.
I mean,
I had never heard of that. Yeah. Was that from your time in prison?
Well, you went to private school, so you went. Actually, it's probably much worse than private school, isn't it?
Yeah, have you heard what they do with biscuits over there?
Yeah, terrible.
Terrible.
But I thought that incident could have been. I mean, it's all sliding doors and all the rest of it. But I think that incident could have been a real turning point, Vish, because you know you never know. If you get a goal back, you're in the game. And I mean, Thomas Tuchel's team so far haven't really been massively challenged when they've conceded the first goal because they just don't concede that many goals. So you don't know how they're going to react.
Yeah, because I wonder actually if not getting the penalty buoyed them to an extent because. The ball stays in play after that, and you could tell Chelsea, they almost didn't want the ball to go out of play because then they'd have a proper check of it.
Yeah.
Because I honestly don't know what Aspilicueta was doing. And I think the way Chelsea reacted afterwards spoke to me that I know they're not necessarily like this kind of team under Tuchel because they don't leave much the chance, but there was a sense you got from them that like, right, we got away with that. This could easily be our night. I don't really understand what more needed to happen there beyond maybe Aspilicueta grabbing a bit more shirt or perhaps, you know, maybe the person not going down as quickly. Who was the... I was trying to think.
It's Carrasco.
So, maybe if he didn't go down as dramatically that they'd be... I don't know. They'd be more inclined to check it.
And it's just like, hey!
Yeah.
Afterwards. I was like, yeah, fair enough.
But it shouldn't be on him to do that. We saw something with Foden the other week where he, you know, he gets back up to his feet and suddenly they decide not to check it. But none of that stuff should matter, should it?
None of that stuff should matter.
No, not at all.
The referee should know what... And you say you're not sure what Aspilicueta was doing. Well, he made a mistake and he instinctively tried to sort that mistake out without you know, giving a goal away or whatever. And I just don't think the perception is really interesting because that coloured my opinion of the referee for the entire rest of the game. Mm. And I know he's a well-respected referee. I think he's refereed a Champions League final, maybe. But then I listened to some of the analysis on Five Live after, and Karen Carney, who I really like as a pundit, was saying that she thought he had a really good game overall, and that was just a bit of an anomaly. So, I mean, obviously he picked up the Savage thing with the elbow chucked into Rudiger's chest.
Lovely bit of goal mouth action, that. Stefan Savage sent off after Antonio Rudiger's elbow punctured his lung or something.
And he got up and he started laughing in their faces as well.
What the hell? I'm so wounded.
The other thing that was great was that Koke realised that the game had gone, so he just started to stick one on Kovacic. For being an ex-Real Madrid player.
Sorry, you thought that was a red card because it featured an elbow that was in the vicinity?
I think it's a red card because it's violent conduct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Violent conduct. Yeah.
You haven't seen me.
No, yeah. Well, you probably get something off every game, Kane.
That to me summed up how perfectly Chelsea played yesterday beyond that Azpilicueta incident, because they outfought Atletico Madrid, they outran them, and they outshithoused them, didn't they?
Which is an amazing achievement.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was really disappointed with Atletico Madrid, to be honest. I thought there were elements of their game where they were quite pathetic yesterday.
Mm. They also just didn't know how to approach it. It looked to me, people said they were below par. I mean, Andy was saying they were below par. Joe Cole said they didn't look like a very good team or whatever he said.
He said they looked like a Championship side.
Yeah, that's harsh.
I
just wanted to say that to me, I feel sometimes, I know that Atletico have scored a few more goals in La Liga this season than perhaps they normally do, but their top scorer is Luis Suarez. A lot's been made that he hasn't actually scored a single goal in the Champions League this season, but he scored, I think, 18 in the La Liga. So that maybe tells a bit of a story. But also, it feels to me that when they set up, when Simeone likes to play in that certain way, when you go into a game away from home and you're a goal down, what you got to do? What are you going to do? Mm. You have to score. At some point, you're going to have to score a goal, right? But I just don't really know if they know when to stick or twist. That's what it looks like to me. And they look a little bit unsure.
Well, they set up for the 0-0 in the previous game, didn't they? And then the Olivier Giroud incredible wonder goal meant that couldn't happen.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of got the impression that, as you know, there was a stage where they had half an hour left, and I know the quote-unquote nothing really changed with that goal, but they didn't show any kind of, maybe willing's not the right word, but they showed no sense of nous, really, to try and break Chelsea down. And I wonder if you mentioned the referee there, Karen Carney, saying the referee had a good game. I thought he did as well, because the game definitely flowed. And I wonder if it flowed more to Chelsea's benefit off the back of the referee knowing he was going to be, you know, overseeing an Atletico Madrid game, knowing that he was going to be a bit physical and that he had to have some leeway. And it just so happened that Rudiger, you know, beyond the elbow, I mean, he was immense, really. And he was so touch tight to players. So I thought that they were first to everything across the pitch. Yeah,
all the back three played well.
Yeah.
Yeah, so first time an English side's knocked out Atletico in European competition since Gary Megson's Bolton in 2007-08.
That's a sentence I didn't think I'd hear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
And of course, Chelsea go through for the first time in 7 years.
Yeah. Do you think Joe Cole was saying that thing about the Championship level of Atletico because he still loves Big Frank?
It must be that, yeah.
It's got to be something to do with that.
I would say keep an eye out for that. We're going to get a little bit, if they continue on this form and if they reach the, you know, say like the Final Four, even go to the final of the Champions League, we're going to start to see some pieces about
why Frank laid the foundations.
Yeah, the similar to what happened with Leicester City.
And Nigel Pearson, yeah. And Gerard Houllier at France. Although apparently he genuinely did.
But it's more, I think it's more that kind of give some credit to our boys.
So you're not buying that? You're not a Frank apologist?
No. I think if you look at the younger players, and he's certainly done a good job, I'm just saying it's something to look out for.
You really want to do is take on Frank Lampard, Vish. I reckon that would really help you.
I'm not taking him on. I'm sat here chatting shit, minding my own business.
He'd batter you.
I think he would, He got pretty angry by the end of that, didn't he?
I was going to say that when you take the goals away from Luis Suarez, which has happened in the Champions League this season, and obviously based on last night's performance as well, where he went off after an hour, like for some reason maniacally laughing, he's just a maniac. The goals make up for a lot of the mad shit that he does. Mm. And I think people don't automatically think of the things like the biting and the mad stuff against Ghana in the World Cup.
He got into everyone's head, I thought, in the commentary and in the pundits, because Glenn Hoddle talked about for the first Chelsea goal about how they'd eaten up the ground there. And then Rio Ferdinand said Chelsea's defenders munched Atletico's forwards.
They probably did it on purpose.
I think he's...
Put a little bet beforehand.
Yeah.
How many song tops can you get into the broadcast? Yeah. Back on it. Yeah, absolutely. I also think that one of the things that I missed was, do you remember that Atletico's assistant manager, who's now moved to Newell's Old Boys, Germán Burgos?
The tank.
Yeah, he's an absolute tank. He used to wear, famously, Google Glass on the sidelines.
Yeah.
And I've never been able to get to the bottom of what he was looking
at. Such a headache.
What was he looking at?
Well, because that's just Google Glass never worked. It was just Google, effectively. Have you ever tried them on?
No.
Okay, so it's like a tiny little TV screen up in the corner of your eye.
Yeah.
And all it was supposed to be was that you could search Google just by looking in the corner of the...
The facial expression you're making here is showing
it's
us
really
it.
Painful.
Yeah.
So it gives you a headache because it's similar to the old VR stuff where, you know, it's just like not fit for purpose. So you have to like squint up into the corner in order to just do something that you can do anyway by typing on Google.
Speaking of VR, have you ever seen the footage of Ronnie O'Sullivan trying to play VR?
He falls over. Yeah.
Where he puts the VR goggles on, tries to lean on the table, just falls flat on his face. Amazing. But anyway, I was going to say...
Sorry, yes, Luke,
I was going to say...
Something relevant.
Well, not really. I miss him. He looked absolutely hard. I remember when Simeone used to get in trouble a lot more and he got banned to the stands and Burgos was running things for a while and he was just marauding up and down the touchline like used to like a tank. And we also found a video of him earlier this week when he was in a rock band, right?
He looks incredible.
Does he?
Well, in comparison with what he looks like now.
He looks like an extra from Dusk Till Dawn.
He's got no top on. Yeah,
he's like 30. He's a professional athlete at the time. He's playing football.
Yeah, fair point.
He's got leather trousers on, no top on, and a massive Rolling Stones tattoo and long hair. He looks like Sex Machine from Dusk Till Dawn.
Vish looks like he doesn't believe this.
No, I'm quite interested. I'm quite intrigued to see now. Mm.
Okay.
We'll share it on the socials.
I like the way that, like, it doesn't count because he's a professional athlete.
No
forget
like,
all the good bodies.
No.
Cheating.
No, what I'm saying is, he's not going to look massively
fat. Part of your job.
It's
part of your job, too.
Supposed to have an 8-pack.
To look after yourself. That's part of the football ramble.
You're suggesting I don't look after myself?
I'm just saying it's part of your job. So,
fine.
So, you know,
we'll
have to discount, you know, everyone's gorgeousness on the football ramble.
I'm not discounting anything. I admire him. I just didn't admire what he was doing.
All right.
That's all.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
There was also a game last night in Germany. Bayern Munich beat Lazio 2-1. So final score is 6-2 on aggregate. Was that a generous scoreline on the night, would we say?
It felt a bit to me like when I watched the highlights back, because I was watching the Chelsea game, that in retrospect, I could have flicked over and watched RoboCop on the other side Terminator. Because... fair enough, Lazio got a consolation goal, which Peter Drury amazingly said when they scored it. Lazio have something to take home in their luggage.
I know, yeah.
It's a really nice thing to say. Very patronising, but nice. And I just thought, wow, it's more of the same, isn't it? It's just more of the same. So they should have scored more goals than they did.
It takes quite a fine broadcaster to turn one of the greatest sides of the last few years into something so boring and morose.
There was one point in the highlights when Lazio, I can't remember who it was at the back, but someone went and picked up the wrong man and left Lewandowski like in about 10 yards of space.
Yeah.
And Lewandowski, I don't know if you saw it, he got the ball at his feet, moved it out from his feet and smashed the ball. The hardest I've ever seen a ball kicked, and it came flying back off the post, and it came back so fast that the goalkeeper couldn't do anything about it. Hit him in the back.
Oh, yeah.
Like it winded him and rolled about 5 yards off, and the keeper just like, stumbled over and picked the ball up. And it was a bit like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, it was such a ridiculous shot because it was, it must have got only an inch off the ground, just like dead straight as well. Yeah. How do you hit the ball that straight?
Yeah, it was amazing. It was amazing. And I think it was Jermaine Ginnis on the commentary went, he's absolutely lethal. And I thought, well, he's not. He's not scored there. So he's not.
Jürgen Klopp says he's the best player he's ever managed.
He keeps himself in such good nick as well.
And doesn't count though, does it, Ray?
Yeah, that's true, actually, yeah.
It's what you expect. It's what you expect. Yeah.
But in terms of, if you look at Ronaldo, like Ronaldo had a period 3 years ago where he trimmed down, so he kind of lost a bit of muscle mass to be a bit, so he's leaner and a bit more agile. Whereas Lewandowski seems like he's the perfect shape for continuing this form for the next 5 years.
It's not that impressive, though, because I don't find it that difficult to lose muscle mass. You know what I mean? That's not the part
that's hard
to me. I mean, you're making it sound like it's impressive, but it's not really. What you want to be doing is losing fat, which can be a lot harder, they tell me.
Join us for Luke Moore's 5 tips to the perfect bod.
Only 5.
30. It's like those men's health covers where it's like, get a six pack in 10 days.
Yeah, impossible.
Guaranteed.
Impossible.
That's what Luke is doing in his spare time.
Stop
eating
the biscuits.
No, we're not moving it on. We're not moving it on. You need to get in on that glorious body action. Anyway. also, Kinsey Coman, just before we do move on, is facing a €50,000 fine for driving his Mercedes into training this week. They're supposed to turn up in Audis, but he didn't.
Yeah, it's a
heartwarming. Russell seems to think it's a come and get me plea. I don't know who's sponsored by Mercedes.
It's a heartwarming.
Oh, we should have looked into that.
It's a heartwarming modern football story, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just really relatable.
Yeah, I mean, it's pathetic on two fronts. One, the Audi thing's nonsense. And two, like, he obviously knows that.
Yeah. I know,
we've given you an Audi. You know what it's for.
I once asked Mickey Gray on the Ramble Meets if it was true that he got sent home from training at Sunderland because on the day that a load of staff had lost their jobs, he turned up to training in a Ferrari.
God.
And he said, what did he say? He said, I don't think that was true. No, it's not true. I didn't do that. And, and I was like, did you have a Ferrari? And he was like, yeah. So it could have been true. Yeah.
It's definitely true, wasn't it? All right. So the last eight are complete. Chelsea, Man City, Liverpool, Porto, Real Madrid, Bayern, Munich, Dortmund and PSG. Liverpool might have difficulty getting any further because apparently their new training ground is not that good. Or it has issues, teething issues, £50 million, and it's too windy.
Yeah, what's been alluded to in that story is that everyone in the city of Liverpool knew
it
was the windiest place in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, what are the solutions I can get to, though? Surely they can do
big
something.
Walls?
Yeah, massive walls, surely.
Yeah.
Build massive, big...
One of those air tunnels?
But that's going to make it worse.
No, it makes it windier. So they could train in that in order to prepare for training in their training ground.
No, but I think the wind is the problem.
Yeah, exactly. So you just get used to the wind.
So your solution is wind. To the wind problem is more wind.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, just get used to the wind.
See why you're lot running the government have a problem. This is shit. Let's have some more of it, is what you appear to be saying. And if it costs the taxpayer money, all the better.
I don't
pathetic.
Know what Luke is talking about.
Pathetic.
You and your fellow biscuit bandits.
I also don't do that again. I also think that sometimes you've got to be realistic because you hear about players not being able to dribble on pitches, and I've seen some of the best players ever in Saturday football being able to dribble on the worst pitches ever. Sometimes it will be windy. Just get on with it. That's what I say. I grew up on the South Coast. It's windy all the time.
Did you?
They need me in there as a consultant.
All right, well, that's solved. Let's get to a break. We've got a new game.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
This week
at Sukarnov.
Over on My Seven Wonders with Clive Anderson, comedy legend Ian Stone is choosing what he'd put on his list of personal wonders of the world. Along the way, he tells a story of the first time he ever did stand-up, and it wasn't exactly by choice.
My friends, who unbelievably remained my friends after this, put me down secretly for the open mic spot. I mean, I went on. I didn't know what to say. I stood there. I'd never been on a stage before. Well, actually, I'd done a school play once, but I was playing... it was some biblical thing. I can't even remember, but...
You went into your I Am Joseph, is there room in your inn routine.
Give me my coloured coat. Yeah, that didn't work.
Meanwhile, these self-care club ladies are keen to figure out why so many women often find themselves saying sorry for just about anything.
I think that it is such a fine line between over-apologising unnecessarily and actually standing up and saying, I'm sorry for this. I'm sorry if you've been uncomfortable in any way that's been caused by me. And I think that's a sign of strength, isn't it? To be able to apologise for yourself, but not at the cost of your self-esteem.
All that and a whole lot more at Sukarnov.
Hey, Luke, what's up? My friend Kate has invited us to watch the final this week.
Yes! Yes, yes, yes! Well done, everybody. That was Lionel Messi inviting us to watch the game. It's not really Messi. Sorry, guys.
Have I been asked out to an unspecified location from one of my colleagues via an AI version of a football player? Is that what's just happened?
I think that's exactly what's happened, yeah.
Sorry, there was no space for you, Vish. Yeah. It's not personal.
I mean, that's... I don't know what to do with that information.
Messi said he would only record it if it was just for us.
Messi's not involved here. Another heartwarming modern football story. Players turning up in the wrong car, getting fined for it, and now AI versions of players sending messages, presumably to children that pay for them. Is that how it works?
Oh, God, yeah, probably a lot of money. Yeah.
I'm sorry to reveal that wasn't exactly him chatting to us. Like he obviously normally does chat to us, but in that specific incident, it was the Messi Messages service, which allows you to enter a set of details for your recipient, and then that's converted into a video. So there's a video version of that, which is really uncanny.
I've seen it, yeah.
It's so uncanny, because it's that weird thing of the facial expressions not quite working with the mouth.
But I think he's also introducing this product as himself and then flipping to an AI version of him, which is obviously just looks weird. Mm. And I've got 2 points on this. One is call it messages. Don't call it messy messages.
Yeah.
Call it messages. That works.
Although that's... I don't think that does work, Luke.
Second point. You can come back on this in a minute. Second point. He doesn't speak English, does he, Lionel Messi? So how have they got him to do that?
I think he does a little bit, doesn't he? He just doesn't do it in interviews.
Right, okay.
Yeah. And very he doesn't speak the other... There's like 9 other languages as well. So
exactly, that's what I'm saying. So he doesn't speak all of them.
Doesn't speak. Yeah.
Is Andy Brassel doing it? Is it Brassel doing it?
Oh, man.
Tax man, keep an eye on that.
When you find out about deep fakes, you're going to be absolutely blown away. It's time for these. Oh.
It's exciting.
Huh.
I want you to read my email. I want you to read my email.
The email, in case you haven't emailed before, is show@footballramble.com.
Oh.
We've been using the old one, haven't we? Thanks.
Thanks.
Absolute craftwork vibe.
Is this made by Jeremy from Peep Show?
How good is that?
Yes, that's been sent to us by Jeremy from Peep Show, Rich. Yeah. I don't know how you worked that out.
No, that was pretty decent, actually.
That's from Toby Bishop. I'm overwhelmed by the quality and creativity that our Ramble listeners have got on this. It's unbelievable.
And they're only being sent in by people called Toby, apparently. Yeah. Which is amazing. You think it'd be a very niche audience, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But it's amazing. Great stuff.
Oh, thank you so much for that one. Bring more to us.
It was like an 80s vision of the future.
Yeah, it was a bit. Yeah, I have... an email from Andrew Matthews. I said email there so maybe someone can cut me into one of their jingles. Email. Email.
We'll be using an AI version of you in the next time next week, mate.
Perfect.
So yeah, one from Andrew Matthews. He's got in touch on the subject of unique free kick routines, as we discussed on Wednesday's show. I thought I'd share what I witnessed happen at St. James's Park, always good, in a game between Newcastle and Bradford City in 2000. Newcastle were awarded a free kick around 40 yards from goal, slightly right at the centre. The ball was placed down by Nobby Solano, Gary Speed and Kieran Dyer, all standing over and discussing what to do with it. With Alan Shearer primed in the penalty area for a ball into the box, firstly Dyer, then Speed and finally Solano all proceeded to run over the ball, leaving it firmly in place 40 yards from goal. All three turned back and looked at each other in confusion before passing it short.
So the bandit there is Solano, right? He's the third one. What is he? What does he think's about to happen?
This doesn't sound like the sort of thing that would happen on Bobby Robson's watch. Yeah. I think Bobby Robson used to run a very tight ship, didn't he? What are you talking about? You must be mistaken.
That's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
Jamie Stone wanted to give a shout out to a cult hero at Man City after tales of Vodka Vic yesterday. Vodka Vic. Fish, yeah. Or did we just turn it into vodka fish? Flower Bertie.
No, it's not even...
Wait, now I'm confused. Wasn't it whiskey? Okay, anyway.
Different person.
Got it.
So I'll price it for you. Definitely vodka Vic. Whiskey guy was a different guy. Vish likes red wine and whiskey.
Together.
Sambuca and red wine.
With a biscuit on the side.
Yeah.
Flower Bertie was a Brazilian defender who joined the club in the summer of 2008, during the course of his one season at City. He was named on the bench 20 times and didn't play a single minute. However, all of this changed on the final day against Bolton with 10 minutes to go. Mark Hughes summoned the lad to make his long-awaited debut. As Bertie put it, that 10 minutes was as wonderful as every time I touched the ball, the fans cheered and chanted my name. I will never forget it. He left that summer, never to return to England.
I have a huge problem with this.
Tell me.
He's an international football player. He played for Brazil, this guy. Mm. And if you read the quotes from Mark Hughes around Glauber, he said the following. Bear in mind, Mark Hughes was the manager of a Premier League club and this guy played international football. He said, he got a really great reception. I've not been able to give him the opportunities that maybe I would have liked, but I thought that today was a nice chance to do that. It was important to do it, not only for the fans, but also for the squad, because they were all keen that he got an opportunity to get on the field. I must be going soft in my old age.
He's a mascot.
A competition winner. But it's outrageous, in my opinion.
He's done it like it's Soccer Raid.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got to get him on. You know, yeah. Jonathan Wilkes was getting hurt there. So
yeah.
All right, then. Send us more emails. show@footballramble.com or tweet@footballramble. But bloody hell, keep those jingles coming in. They're incredible.
I'm just joking. Right, I was going to play the whole thing again, but I'm not going to. It's time for Play Your Part Right.
That needs its own jingle, doesn't it?
I don't think you have the facilities for that, big man.
It's not a jingle.
I haven't got one. It's but people could play. Could send me one in. We decided to name it Play Your Parts Right because Mick Reed was the first person to suggest this on Twitter. Thank you to Mick, but also thank you to Daniel, Mikey D, Grand Mampster Flash, John Hyde,
who's a regular,
and many, many more who sent in name suggestions. Some of them were just simply unacceptable. Play Your Parts Right it is. We also had a load of listeners pleading for Mace to be involved.
Thanks.
So you're now involved from this week onwards, whenever you're hosting the show. So you and Vish are going to work together on this. The general concept is a higher or lower situation. I'm sure you'll work it out pretty quick, Vish, if you haven't heard it already. Don't forget the record was set last week by Andy on his own, which was 7.
Yeah.
7 correct answers in a row. As soon as you get one wrong, you are out.
So what do we do? We confer?
You can confer. You can refer. Right.
Because otherwise we're just going to shout out possibly different answers.
I'm going to try and set this entire thing up for you two to have arguments. So you need to have a unified answer for each round, okay? First of all, one of you needs to pick a number between 1 and 5.
Fish, why don't you pick the category. A number?
4.
That's a trick, Rish, by the way. She's trying to be nice to her. 4, okay? 4. Okay.
Well, I thought if I conceded something in the early stages.
Oh, that's a good point, yeah. Mm.
4 is international goals. Okay. It's your category. Last week it was international caps. International goals this week, interestingly enough.
It'll be all right.
So let's have a look. So your first player to kick everything off, of course, because the game is Play Your Pards Right, is Alan Pardew, a.k.a. Pards, who at the time of recording has 0 international goals.
Good.
So your first player, this might be a little bit of an
Wait, so we get a point?
No. Oh. It's just a kick-off play. You don't get a point for that. By the way, I'm delighted that he's not got the Portsmouth job after yesterday's show, because that was terrifying when I listened to that back.
Yeah, they might actually get someone... Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the first player's Pards. The player I want you to tell me if he's got a higher or lower amount of international goals than 0, to start with, is Cristiano Ronaldo.
Is this a trap? I don't understand.
No, because we'll go
So
higher.
We then go higher.
Yeah. You're higher, yeah? Okay. That's correct. You got one. You got one. So, okay, next player.
That's safe.
I can't take that away from you. The next player Has he scored more or fewer goals internationally than Cristiano Ronaldo? The player in question is Didier Drogba. Is that higher or lower amount of international goals? Didier Drogba.
Yeah, I'm going to go lower, yeah.
You want to go lower?
I'm gesturing with my hand. Sorry, I realised that wasn't a very good audio feature.
Yeah, you want to go lower?
Okay. No.
That's also correct. Didier Drogba scored 65 international goals.
I like to convey the impression that we think with one mind.
Yeah, and he's also telling us the goals now as well, so 65.
You've got to
keep that.
Oh, I tell them. Well, yeah, thank you. I might write that down.
Yeah, 65 for Didier Drogba. The next player, higher or lower than 65, Robin van Persie.
No.
No, lower. I was going to say lower.
Oh, damn.
You think lower than 65 international goals?
65 is a lot.
That's a good point. All right.
He didn't always play up front, so.
Yeah. All right then.
You want to go lower?
All right then.
Okay. That's also correct. You got three.
I'm almost sad that you were right. Anyway, carry on.
Weren't you? No, you wanted him to. You were annoyed as soon as you saw his finger hovering over the
right
button.
It was good logic.
That's three. Yeah, Robin van Persie has scored 50 international goals.
Thank you.
You got three. The next player, higher or lower than 50, Gareth Bale.
Lower.
Gareth Bale, higher or lower than 50 international goals.
He doesn't even really play football now.
I find that personally quite offensive. Yeah. But fine. Yes, lower.
You want to go lower?
Yeah.
Okay. That's also correct. Want to guess how many he scored?
32.
Ooh, interesting. 33 is the answer.
33, wow.
Very close. The next player, to go number five and get closer to Andy's record, you've got four so far. The next player.
He got seven of these.
On his own. Higher or lower than 33.
Swoon.
This is where it starts to get a bit trickier.
Yeah.
Higher or lower than 33, Dimitar Berbatov. I think this is a tricky one, personally.
I don't really know what to do now.
Take your head off the mic, okay? might make it a little bit annoying for listening. Sure, yeah. Higher or lower than 33, Dimitar Berbatov. Going to have to push you for an answer.
Because I always think of him just swanning about, you know, like smoking a cigarette on the sidelines. So you don't think of that as being a person who would score more than 33 international goals. But then is that a lot? Because as just discussed, Gareth Bale hasn't scored as many as you might expect.
I feel like, this is anecdotal, but I feel like Bulgaria weren't particularly prolific goal scorers either.
Good point.
Higher or lower than 33?
I reckon we go lower. Yeah.
Although I just did the thing with a hand and maybe you were going to say something else.
No, I'm indecisive at the best times, but I reckon let's go lower. Okay. If we die, we die together.
Final answer.
Fine, yeah.
You're going to go lower.
Fine. Shit.
Did he get 36?
It's a joke.
It's a joke. Interestingly enough, Dimitar Berbatov.
This
up for everyone listening because they would have been playing along. Has scored 48 international goals for Bulgaria.
Oh,
15
shit,
more
bed.
Than Gareth Bale. So your score is 4. Oh. Andy Brassel still has the record. Congratulations to him. You guys need to work harder next time.
I think it might be easier with one person.
Play your part, right,
guys. Because I think two people makes you doubt yourself more.
You know, we look like fucking idiots here because he played for both of our clubs for quite a long time.
Yeah, I know.
It gets very tough, this game, as you go along. I'll give you an example. If you'd got to the number 10, the big 10, to win the game, it was Stern John. It's very difficult to know how many international goals he scored, or even who he played for internationally, for certain football fans.
Oh, I'm sorry we disappointed you, Luke.
It's a good game.
Yeah, and glad to hear that you're going to have such a good manager in future as well.
Well,
as an aside.
It's an exciting appointment because I think he's an upwardly mobile young manager. This is Danny Cowley, for those who don't know. But I'm not sure about the style of football he plays. But we'll wait and see because we're used to playing shit football down there under Kenny Jackett. So it won't be terrible if he's not that great. As long as he gets us up.
Didn't have the exit bounce you were hoping for though, did you? I'm sorry to see. Arsene Wenger wants to change all of football. He does.
Yes.
He does. I mean, that's what he wants.
How do we feel about this? Because I think of Arsene Wenger as being... So look, the precedent has been set for someone like your Franz Beckenbauer, right? Franz Beckenbauer, amazingly classy player, great to watch, one of the greatest defenders ever, and now he's Franz Beckenbauer.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You could say that about Michel Platini
We could, exactly yeah. right. Would we want Arsene Wenger to go that way? I'm not suggesting there's anything untoward going on, but he's now working for FIFA.
Look,
is it going to go all right?
I think he's gone from being, you know, the professor to the professor on the box of Weetos with some of these suggestions.
No, because he is a thoughtful... Oh, but he's so thoughtful. He wants things... I imagine he wants things to be perfect. Do you think he's trying to... What he said is he wants the season to start in March and end in November with major international tournaments every 2 years because he thinks it's not fair to footballers to have to wait 4 years for a World Cup. He also says, in Japan, we played from March until November and it was perfect, perfect, much like the ideal Champions League we were discussing from Agnelli the other day. You wouldn't have to say anymore he won the championship in season 2018-19, which is annoying sometimes when saying that. It's true. No, the championship was won in 2018 or 2019. Or, we get it, Wenger, 2020. Yeah.
Is that the problem here?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't say 18, 19, 19 is better.
People move stuff around the whole time. Like, you know, this is all just a made up thing.
Yeah, yeah,
rugby league
course,
was
of
being
course.
Played and that, and then it was moved to summer sport.
Test cricket wasn't always 5 days. Yeah, yeah, no, exactly. I get it. Yeah, yeah. But the two things here, I reckon, because he's got so much more time to think, he's coming up with stuff like this.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, a retired dad in his shed who's losing it slowly.
Mm.
But at the same time, I do wonder actually, because in, you know, they play March to November in certain other leagues, you know, they play. You know, the MLS fits within a year, same with the A-League as well. And I wonder, actually, if going forward in terms of how England do at major tournaments or even just the style of football would be improved if we were playing during the summer months where the ground's a bit better and, with, you know, it's not as muddy and this, that and the other, and it might be more conducive to more attractive style of play. But then at the same time, that is not English football, and I can understand why there would be a lot of resistance to that.
But hardly any pitches are bad these days, anyway.
I mean, from the championship downwards, yeah. I mean, even in the championship, that you get some pretty bad decks. And I suppose you look at Leeds now. You know, Ellen Road isn't exactly in a great state at the moment.
In Scottish football, they play on Astro the whole time.
Yeah,
do they?
Yeah,
I don't really watch much.
Not the whole time, but yeah,
much of the time.
I to me, this is just a case of a man. They've hired Arsene Wenger because he's Arsene Wenger. Found him a job title, which is, you know, completely nondescript, whatever it may be. Is it like technical director or something? Can mean anything. And he's just coming up with stuff, isn't he?
You just want to crush people who think outside of the box.
No, I don't. I like that. I like that thinking. I mean, if the idea is, if you're going to do mad ideas, at least make them properly mad. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, you think it's not mad enough?
Don't be Professor on the bag of on the box of Weetos. Be the guy from Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
You know, go the whole way. You know, that's what
I'm Pickle
saying.
Wenger.
Yeah. I'm not sure that the changing things so that you can slightly more clearly say that the championship was won in a year rather than in 2 years.
Bless him, that does seem a bit lame.
Yeah. Is he worried about his margins in the top of the page? He's like, oh, God, keep going over that.
I do like the cleanliness of how that would look on your, like, on your notes and stuff. I mean, of course, the World
Cup. That's what it's all about, isn't it?
The World,
the World Cup
is going to be played in November, so
yeah. Well,
you
yeah.
do wonder but this, what's being chipped away at here.
There's a FIFA meeting this month. Well, they're talking about some changes, things are happening. And one of the things that's been rumoured is they're trialling also limb tracking technology, right?
I'm into this, for offside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where are they trialling this? What's happening? Because it's FIFA, right? So who's getting things implanted in their legs at the moment?
It's in an underground cavern somewhere with the guy with the cat.
And Vish,
I've got a couple of mates who work for FIFA and they do have an underground football pitch.
But that's not really that. I mean, that's not that sinister, is it? You said that like it's a sinister thing, but an underground football
pitch. It could be if you turn the lights down a little bit.
Yeah. What have you got down here in this lair? Oh, it's a football pitch. It's less threatening than I expected.
But look at the grass. It's not growing properly, is it? You want to play football here?
All those football players with stuff injected in their limbs for semi-automated offside calls.
I'm really here for the semi-automated offside calls. I think that is exactly what they should be doing with offside calls. If they're going to be dicking around with pixels, get some stuff implanted into people's limbs. That's the only way to do it. There's more football tonight, guys. There's some UEFA League. It returns. But sadly not returning to look after his side in the game against Spurs is Dynamo Zagreb's boss, Zoran Mamic. He's going to go to prison. Sorry, shouldn't laugh.
You make it sound like prison went in and was like, what's his release fee? We'll take it. We want him over here.
I really like the way Sky Sports ran with this on their website. They went, Dinamo Zagreb boss resigns after being given prison sentence. You'd have to, wouldn't you? Really?
Well, you don't have to because he was charged, what, a couple of years ago. And he's been in charge of the club ever since. And also his brother is involved in this, the former Croatian FA vice president. They were charged, in 2018 with embezzling money from the club, along with a former club director and, interestingly, a tax inspector. I suppose that's what you'd need.
You'd have to get them involved, wouldn't you, to a point. Yeah.
I also like this quote from Mamic himself. Genuine quote. I don't feel guilty. It's not about that, though, is it? It's not really about that.
Well, guilt's just a created concept, yeah, isn't it? Should just go. You should just live your life without feeling negative emotions.
I just really like the idea that, you know, he's resigned after being given prison sentence. The alternative is presumably some kind of,
you know, job shirt.
Yeah, Del Boy from Only Fools and Horses scenario, to quote from yesterday, where Del Boy dates two women on the same night and has to jump out the window of the toilet to go and have the dessert there and then run back for the main course down there. You can't do it all at the same time.
Well, so what? In prison, you get one call a day? Is it one call a week?
Yeah.
So why are you looking at me, Vish? Talk to Luke.
I'm sure you've had people incarcerated on behalf of the Mason family.
No, that lot don't go to jail, do they?
No. Well, actually, no, you might know a bit about embezzling. But the other thing, you know, we've seen that managers can work remotely this season. David Moyes, you know, when he had to isolate,
he was better.
And he was better. Yeah. West Ham's good run came when he was.
So you suggested
away.
It's a missed opportunity.
So Mamet should start getting a job in the prison library to earn extra credits to be able to make more regular phone calls to coach his team.
Yes.
Fine.
Okay. It now seems like he's been a bit short-sighted with this whole resignation thing. But anyway, his side are 2-0 down, playing Maxime without their boss. Manchester United are going to the San Siro. They play AC Milan, where it is 1-1 on aggregate. Apparently, Manchester United have got the most sustainable squad in Europe's top five leagues based on players' age and contract duration. Sounds like a thing for dicks, but it's actually probably quite good, Fish.
Yeah, you'll never sing that.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not a trophy, is it? Although Solskjaer said that trophies are distracting, aren't they?
Which is actually something that I can very much get behind.
Yeah, you've had, I suppose, a clear focus for a while, haven't
really
they?
Really focused. Yeah. Trophy's a big distraction.
I mean, it kind of makes sense. If you look at the age profile of that squad, and I suppose it does relate to how things have gone on the pitch, where they're relying quite a lot on the potential of young players who are being pushed to do a bit more in the here and now. So, I mean, that kind of makes sense. I don't really. I want to know who the worst is, though. That's when I saw that. I was like, who's got the most unsustainable squad?
Crystal Palace, don't you think?
Yeah, it would be, wouldn't it? Yeah.
I have no idea.
Because there's only Berucci Eze is like a normal.
Yeah, and everyone else is shielding, aren't they? Basically.
My favourite thing about this whole story is the Solskjaer quote that says, "Cups are sometimes an ego thing for managers."
I mean, that is such a dig at Mourinho. It's unreal, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, also, they're also quite good to win, aren't they?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you should know because he's won the Lancashire Senior Cup when he was manager of the reserves. So he would know all about that.
He does like them. Yeah. I think he might be hiding something. Yeah, no, Edinson Cavani available tonight. He apparently, quote, suffered a reaction to training.
No, I don't like this very much. Yeah, I don't like this.
I mean, yeah, that's. Shouldn't you always have a reaction to training, for better or for worse?
No, for better.
Yeah, I mean, ideally, yeah.
Not that kind of training where you're like sick in a bucket because you've been running so much.
Well, that's the old pre-season one, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I was reading the other day that Cavani fancies going back to South America, apparently.
Yeah, I saw that as well because they, United were, because just strikers are so hard to come by, like good strikers, United have to fork out basically around what they did for Bruno Fernandes to get someone in who would be long-term. And they definitely want him to stay on because it seems like he's had a really good effect, not just on the field, but in kind of blooding the younger strikers as well. There's a lot of talk about his positive effect on Martial and Martial's striker play, which is quite interesting. So, I mean, like, he probably wants to go home. Go home, Edison. Like, I don't want you to go home, but, like, if you're homesick.
This is a weird take.
He's just a classy operator. I love having him in the Premier League. It gives the Premier League a veneer of class, I think.
All right.
So I'll be sad to see him go, but fair enough. Up to him, innit?
Okay. Yeah, interesting. Guys, for more scintillating insight on Edison Cavani, actually, you joining us? Probably not.
I'm not doing it, no.
A reminder that we are doing a live stream Q&A on the Ramble Patreon this evening at 5 p.m. British time, UK time.
Yeah.
It's going to be me, Marcus and Jim. We're going to answer literally anything. I don't think that's true, is it?
No.
Because if there's some really horrible questions like the ones about the feet, then I don't think we're going to answer those.
Well, Marcus and Jim can answer those.
They can answer those. Marcus will answer your questions about
Jim might
feet.
Be asking them.
Head to patreon.com/footballramble to get involved as long as you're not a pervert.
Yeah.
Lovely to see you guys today. Say goodbye, Luke.
Yeah, goodbye. I'll see you tomorrow, Vish. I'm back in with you, aren't I?
Yes.
Oh, bye, Vish.
Back in. Bye, Kate.
Yes, tomorrow it is Marcus, Luke and Vish. See you then.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So, you've got an idea for a business. The store of your dreams. There's just one thing to figure out. Everything. That's why Shopify's all-in-one commerce platform makes it easy to sell online, in person, and everywhere else. Sell on social media, source products with an app to get that first sale feeling. It's the only solution that gives you everything you need to sell everywhere you want. So when you're ready to bring your idea to life, power it up with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.